And joining us here in the studio this morning, we have Adam Sontag, who is the city administrator for the city of Ripon. So with the weather we're expecting, are we rolling up the sidewalks on Monday or what?
Yeah, it certainly, compared to what was it, Monday of this this week?
68, I think I saw.
I actually drove rode past your radio station here on my bike on Monday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I don't think I'll be doing that this coming Monday. So certainly parking regulations are still in effect. Mm-hmm. And will any announcements we make regarding, you know, garbage, anything like that will come out over the weekend here, and we'll get it out on our website and social media, mm-hmm. and just keep people informed. But certainly winter apparently is not over.
No. Ripon Area Fire District, there's been work on the bylaws and getting a new fire truck. The bylaws have taken a while, but it looks like maybe you've reached an agreement on that.
Yeah. As of last night, there was a meeting, and the fire district board approved unanimously amended bylaws. I would say that, you know, there are like 12 sections of the bylaws. Only one section changed, attachment and detachment. The rest of it remained the same. So they reviewed the revisions last night regarding attachment, detachment. The attachment language basically allows for a municipality to join under two conditions, or two options they have to join. One being kind of a discounted, like they come in and they pay 20% of kind of the overall value they would. So it's kind of a little, there's a lot of numbers, but generally it's a discounted. And then the other option is to kind of become a fully vested member and invest in. And then detachment wise, there's a whole mechanism for detachment in terms of assets. And really, you know, prior to these discussions, the, you know, attachment was pretty much you pay what you pay, you come in. And then, you know, from a detachment perspective, you never leave. And as things just have gotten more expensive and the investments have, you know, the city's contribution to the fire truck is about $750,000. You know, there needs to be some equity there financially for the city moving forward as we invest in the district. So I think it was a healthy discussion. It's taken, I think, a little bit longer than people would have liked based on the idea that there's a fire truck coming. But overall, I think it's a really positive move for everybody. And we can, you know, hopefully it goes now to council and to town boards. And if everybody approves, you know, we move on and fire engine is set to be delivered hopefully in April. And we can get to trying to grow the district, which has been an ultimate goal as well.
Right. Well, you know, you don't have a lot of competition when it comes to building fire trucks out there, do you?
Yeah, fire trucks have, there's a whole lawsuit going on at a state level, and actually I think it's gone nationwide now, where I think the city of La Crosse actually started, where they are suing some of the major fire truck manufacturers because it's become semi-monopolized, I believe, and the options are pretty much two or three manufacturers, and the cost has gone up. You know, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's something like, you know, 10 to 20% per year over the last couple of years. So, you know, your fire apparatus are just, including ambulance too. We ordered an ambulance 2 or 3 years ago. And what used to be a $280,000 ambulance is now $400,000. You know, what used to be a $500,000 fire truck is now $800,000-$900,000. That's what's happening, and it's certainly not sustainable for small departments and just any department for that matter, with a lot of the limits we have on us financially. So it's a struggle. So hopefully there's something that gets resolved there, but this next one is around $800,000-$900,000, and then the ambulance we're doing is I think around $380,000, and that used to be 2 years, like 3 years ago we bought, and it was like $40,000, I think. So it's just wild how expensive it's gotten.
Wow. One of the things the council did was tackle a safe drinking water bond resolution.
Yes.
And that was approved.
Yep, that was approved.
And how much was it? $566,962?
Correct. Okay. That's the total amount that was bonded for through the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program. That was for the Hamburg Henny project. So that project was about $1.7 million in terms of to reconstruct the road and do the utilities, all of that. So that road is open. Mm-hmm. We received $1 million CDBG grant for that based on the income thresholds within the area. And then the Safe Drinking Water Loan was around $700,000-$800,000. And we qualified for principal forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So that loan traditionally would have been more like $700,000-$800,000. And it came down to $566,000, like you said. And the rest was basically a grant. It was just forgiven based on the program. So that's the first time we've qualified for principal forgiveness. And we were able to complete a $1.7-ish million project and pay around $566,000 for it, which is kind of like really like it's the financial model mm-hmm. we want to use for projects. We've gotten other grants before, but we sort of hit the trifecta with this one, meaning a big grant, principal forgiveness, and then a smaller portion of it as a loan, only at about 1.4-ish%.
Wow.
So that's kind of the model we've been using to fund a lot of our projects, and moving forward, we'll continue to explore that. But that was a great, great package in terms of financing and a great project for the community.
Mm-hmm. How much has the city gotten in grant money over the last few years?
It's actually over the weekend, I will have been with the city for 5 years, mm-hmm. and we were over $7 million, and so and projects that have been that I've managed and the council and mayor have approved during my tenure. So here and so you know between roads, between you know library facilities, it's a significant increase. It's not just one area. It's parks, like I said, library, it's roads, it's infrastructure. And we are not stopping, right? Any mm-hmm. chance we get to leverage dollars and apply, we are applying. So I think we'll continue to go.
Well, you know, Parks and Rec did their annual report the other
yep.
night. And one of the things they reported on was the Selfridge Park
yep.
project,
yep.
which also got some of that funding.
Yep, so. Yep. There's about 400-some thousand, 500,000, mm-hmm. somewhere in there for that project through a stewardship grant. So, it's obviously been winter, so that's been that yeah. project hasn't been moving much. But overall, that's another example of, mm-hmm. you know, putting a plan together, finding the funding, executing the project.
Right.
So, Ashton was there, did her annual report with Christine, our senior center director. I think their report speaks for itself. They did a fantastic job. I would encourage everybody to just listen about what they're doing and the overall right. impact that we're seeing in the community from their work.
Well, I think it's a good way to find out why our parks are important to us, you know? Is listening to something like that.
So. Yeah, obviously, and we 5 years ago when I got here, there wasn't much going on in parks. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of planning. We were very engaging with our community regarding master planning, trying to get in front of the groups that use the parks. And a common theme was there needs to be more follow-up. There needs to be more attention. There needs to be more care. There needs to be more investment, right? And mm-hmm. and so we started to take it seriously. And I think about 3 years in now, I think a lot of the work you can see. And there's just a different approach. And you know, I think it's working.
Quality of life, right?
It's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're building a lot of new homes. We're investing in infrastructure, doing all those things. So, and trying to make Ripon, you know, a more attractive place to live. So,
all right. First few projects coming out of the wheel tax that was approved, I believe, too.
Yes. So obviously we implemented the wheel tax moving into 2025. So we're just about a year into collections after it was passed. So we bid out two projects, all of Tabert Street, mm-hmm. and then a section of Hall Street, which would be the east section from Stanton to Douglas, I believe. So we had anticipated maybe being able to do one of those projects. The bid came in to our advantage, and we will do both. So there was a lot of talk about how much could we do with the generated wheel tax, and we've done exactly kind of what we said we were going to do. We're going to leverage other funds, leverage TID dollars, leverage other plans, and use it to do projects that were not on the radar or were not on the schedule. And so those will get accomplished here. They're more mill and overlay projects. It's about $200,000 or $193,000 worth of additional spending from the wheel tax and a small portion of TIF. And those projects will be done. Kartechner was awarded the work out of Waupun. And that just, you know, it helps us with transportation aid. There's formulas that go into how we receive general transportation aid from the state. And so those will, you know, those are two local roads, you know, and within about 18 months of getting the wheel tax implemented, we are investing back in, as well as still doing Houston and East Seward. So there still is a large reconstruct project that we received an LRIP grant for over $600,000 for as well. So we're continuing to plan that out. So we'll do, you know, larger projects this year too, and a larger stretch of roads than we've done in the last few years as well, just because that wheel tax allows us to invest in more.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Of course. Anytime. Stay warm and hopefully...
Stay upright.
Stay upright. Thank you.
Adam Sontag, who is the city administrator for the city of Ripon, we appreciate him joining us this morning.